Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 259. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about ethnic neighborhoods, historic forts, and the King of Ketchup as we go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have only one news story for you, and that is one of a hotel manager working for a Marriott who took that customer service that we all look for in a hotel perhaps a little too far. He helped a guest who was looking at a $49,354.55 hotel bill. And that's a lot of minibar expenses to try and get away without paying for it. The story, and this is something that's coming out of USA Today, doesn't say why. And I really have to wonder how you would talk a hotel manager into letting you out of a $49,000 hotel bill. But the hotel manager was caught and is now facing jail time. So perhaps that's not the level of customer service you should expect the next time you stay at a hotel. For a link to that story, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com.
I'd like to welcome the show Chris Bogdan, who's coming to us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and come to talk to us about his hometown. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. Thanks a lot for having me.
And you pitched Pittsburgh to me, and Pittsburgh happens to be one of the places that I have not been to in Pennsylvania. And part of the reason I'd have to say is its old reputation from maybe 20, 30 years ago. So what am I missing?
Well, I think you're actually missing probably a lot from Pittsburgh for a couple reasons. Number one, Pittsburgh has gone through a variety of changes throughout kind of the past 300 years. And it's a very old city from kind of U.S. standpoint. It's very rich in industrial, which is that's kind of where it came from, the steelmaking world. But what it has is it's kind of converted itself in kind of a next generation or kind of a new, very modern city to get away from its legacy, but still has a lot of historical things about that legacy, which is steelmaking and things like that. For people that do not know about where Pittsburgh is we're obviously talking about Pennsylvania, which is a state within here in the U.S., and we are in the southwest corner of Pennsylvania. Probably the closest point of reference would be about 4.5 hours from Washington, D.C., as driving.
The city has been associated with three rivers, as I recall. You're the headwaters then of the Ohio River.
Yes, and basically that's one of the unique things about Pittsburgh also, is it is actually formed on basically what we call the confluence of three different rivers here in Pennsylvania. The Ohio is obviously the biggest river that flows always down to the Mississippi and eventually out to the Gulf of Mexico. But then there's two other rivers, one called the Allegheny River that flows from New York State all the way down to Pittsburgh, and then another river called the Monongahela River, which flows kind of from West Virginia, Maryland, up to Pittsburgh. And the reason why it's very unique in that situation is because Pittsburgh was built right along that location. You basically have three rivers there, and that's where Pittsburgh was founded. And a lot of the historic reasoning about why Pittsburgh was there was because of its proximity to those three rivers. It was very big on shipping, very big on steelmaking, and basically a lot of the historical nature of Pittsburgh used the rivers for those types of things. So as a result, within kind of the 1700s and the 1800s, there was obviously a lot of fighting in Pittsburgh, trying to get control of Pittsburgh over the French, the British, and even the American Indians.
You can certainly tell some of the American Indian heritage from the Monongahela, for instance, some of the names in that area.
Yep. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's one of the interesting thing about Pittsburgh is it is very historical from that sense. And it does go back to kind of even to the American Revolution, because there was a lot of fighting actually occurred within Pittsburgh or around Pittsburgh. And the nice thing about that is, from a tourist standpoint, for somebody who's really into history and very into kind of the historical nature of basically the U.S., Pittsburgh is a very good place to actually learn that. Right in downtown Pittsburgh, right where the three rivers meet, there's actually a museum, which is one of the things I was going to talk about, called the Fort Pitt Museum. And there used to be a big fort there, and there's a very good museum there that goes through and really talks about kind of that history, the history in the 1700s, about who lived here before that, how the French and the British tried to fight for this land and things like that. And that's one of the destinations in Pittsburgh from a historical standpoint that is definitely very interesting.
Okay. And where else do you take friends when they come to visit you?
Well, one thing we always recommend, believe it or not, is a lot of the museums in Pittsburgh. And there's basically tons of museums, which is probably the best way to describe it, covers a lot of different facets of Pittsburgh. As I mentioned, the history of Pittsburgh is steelmaking. So there was a museum in Pittsburgh founded by Andrew Carnegie himself, and it's basically called the Carnegie Museum, and it's a phenomenal museum, both natural history museum and a art museum as well. But even if we take that out and go past that one, there's a lot of other very interesting museums as well. There's one called the Heinz Pittsburgh Regional History Center, and what this is a museum that details a lot of Pittsburgh history. It goes back into some of the Revolutionary War type things, but instead of focusing on that, it kind of focuses more on the 1900s and basically what occurred within Pittsburgh there. It traces the steel making. It traces industry within Pittsburgh. It goes up to the sports teams now. And it is really a very good destination to actually take people to when they come to Pittsburgh.
And I'm assuming, before we move on, that the money behind that came from the Heinz company or the Heinz family, that we know more for ketchup, but they have deep roots in Pittsburgh.
Yes, well, the Heinz family has deep roots in Pittsburgh. Their corporate headquarters at one time, and it's still corporate headquarters here, is in Pittsburgh. So a lot of that funding comes from that, from Heinz and the whole Heinz family. Another museum very similar is something called the Frick Museum. And Frick is another family, very well-to-do family in the early days of steelmaking. And they have a really nice museum and mansions which you could tour in Pittsburgh. So that's also a very nice place to go. Another thing is, for all the art lovers out there, many people don't even realize that Andy Warhol was actually born in Pittsburgh. So we actually have a very good Andy Warhol Museum that kind of traces a lot of the history of Andy Warhol, some of the art that he has done, and that's actually a very good museum. And once again, that's downtown Pittsburgh as well.
I would have to say I did not know that connection.
Yeah, he has a very nice museum. It used to be in an old music store, and they converted it over to a museum, and it kind of really traces a lot of the history, and there's a lot of work from Andy Warhol here as well.
Now, the interesting thing, I think, that you and I were talking about before we started recording is what gave you an idea for doing a show on Pittsburgh was a show we did on the Ukraine. Now, you're probably going to have to explain that to people, because that doesn't seem like they should be related.
No, and the interesting thing about this, I think it kind of has to go back to some of the history of Pittsburgh, is because Pittsburgh was a steel-making town, there was a lot of immigrants that came over from, I'd say, probably Central Europe and Eastern Europe. So what you find in Pittsburgh is a very big population of Polish, Slovak, Ukrainian, Italian, a lot of the Eastern and Central European countries. So what got me thinking about that is I was listening to a show about Ukraine, and she was talking about some of the music she saw in Ukraine, about some of the food in Ukraine. And it got me thinking that the interesting thing about Pittsburgh is really a true melting pot from that standpoint. We have a lot of the same types of music. We have a lot of the same types of food. Even the churches are very similar. Actually, the churches are exactly the same as to what they would have in those European countries. And the nice thing about that is that was the next thing on my list from a tourist standpoint, is you could really get to come here, see a lot of European customs, a lot of European churches, a lot of European food. And the best way to describe Pittsburgh from that sense is it's just a really big melting pot of a lot of different European countries.
And if we're going to do that, what neighborhoods should we check out in Pittsburgh?
Well, there's a lot of different neighborhoods in Pittsburgh. Basically, there's a suburb in Pittsburgh called Bloomfield, and Bloomfield is very Italian-focused. So a lot of the Italian restaurants are there. A lot of the Italian nationality type things are in Bloomfield. Right next to Bloomfield, there's a part of Pittsburgh called Polish Hill. And obviously, Polish Hill is all, there's a Polish churches there. If you wanted to, you could go and actually hear masses in Polish on the weekends. Same thing from an Italian standpoint. There are masses in Italian. From a Ukrainian standpoint, I'm half Ukrainian. But the interesting thing about that is within Pittsburgh and probably within a 10-minute drive from downtown Pittsburgh, believe it or not, you probably run into 4, 5, or even 6 Ukrainian churches. And some of these are Ukrainian Catholic churches. Some of these are Ukrainian Orthodox churches. And even if somebody just wanted to come and see these kind of churches, I mean, they are just awesome, beautiful architectures, beautiful interiors, and things like that. So there are definitely a lot from that standpoint. And then most recently, because there's a very big college influence in Pittsburgh, there's a couple very large schools, one being Carnegie Mellon, CMU, and then another one being University of Pittsburgh. There's now becoming a lot of kind of Chinese, Indian nationality as well. There's a lot of Hindu temples that's starting to pop up. So it's really a true melting pot when you really look at Pittsburgh.
And in terms of times to go, that reminded me of obviously festivals and things like that. Are there a particular time of year that's your favorite to be in Pittsburgh?
A lot of the festivals that I see, like food festivals and things like that, obviously occur during the summer months. April is a very nice time. April, May, June. Once you start to get into July and August, they're still very nice times, but it also can get hot. And then once you start getting into the Novembers and the Decembers, that's kind of where we get our snow and stuff like that. So I definitely wouldn't recommend that. I would definitely recommend for some of those things, for some of the festivals and things like that, between April and August, or actually probably April and September is actually a really good time to come. And then the other nice thing about Pennsylvania as a whole is once you start getting into October and November, you see a lot of leaves turning because of the fall season. So there's a lot of pretty drives right beyond Pittsburgh where you can get really some nice pictures, some nice scenery and things like that.
And I'm picturing Pittsburgh because I've been in that part of Pennsylvania, even if I haven't been to Pittsburgh, in rolling hills.
Yes, it is. There's definitely not mountains here like in other parts of the world, but it's definitely a lot of rolling hills around. We do have ski resorts, so there are ski resorts nearby. There are some very nice ski resorts, probably within an hour's drive outside of Pittsburgh. They're definitely not like a Colorado-type ski resort, but they're definitely very nice for western Pennsylvania. But there's a lot of really pretty drives outside of Pittsburgh. And that's also something I was going to say. Another thing to really do when you're in Pittsburgh is really take some drives, because there are really some nice locations. There's actually 4 national parks which are actually in the National Park Guidebook where you get the passport stamps. There's actually 4 of them probably within a 2-hour drive from Pittsburgh. So definitely when you come to Pittsburgh, you should definitely check out some of those national parks. There's one which is called Fort Necessity.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And it is about an hour and a half south of Pittsburgh, and that is actually where the opening actions of the French and Indian War was. So that's very close to Pittsburgh.
And where George Washington made his name.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was there. The other one is kind of more of not a good thing about Pittsburgh, but it was basically where Flight 93 went down on September 11th, 2001. Mm-hmm. And that's in a town called Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And that's probably the same thing, about 2 hours outside of Pittsburgh. And that's recently designated as a national park as well. There's another town about an hour and a half outside of Pittsburgh called Johnstown. And one of the interesting things about Johnstown is in 1889, it was probably the biggest disaster, I think, in the U.S. at that point in
time.
Sure,
Johnstown flood.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's a national park.
Interesting.
And you could get your stamp there in Johnstown. And I believe that that's also the first time the American Red Cross was ever deployed. I think there was over 2,000 people that died in the flood. So there's some interesting things there. And then a little further east of Johnstown, there's something called the Allegheny Portage Railroad. And what it was is it was one of the first railroads that were built basically through the mountains or the hills, as we call them in Pennsylvania, but it's also a national park. And there's a very interesting thing there called Horseshoe Curve, which is actually kind of a complete curve of a railroad track. So it makes a complete U-turn just because it had to go up the mountains and down the mountains. And that's really a very nice tourist thing to see as well. And once again, that's only about an hour and a half outside of Pittsburgh.
Sure. And before that, of course, a lot of the traffic, well, and actually still some of the traffic on the Ohio River was where a lot of the U.S. industrial traffic was.
Yes, you are absolutely right. The other thing I wanted to mention real briefly before we move kind of off of Pittsburgh, another very interesting thing about Pittsburgh is a lot of the photographies. There's a lot of spots in Pittsburgh where you could get some really good shots. First of all, there is a place called Mount Washington, which is a hill above Pittsburgh. And if you ever seen a picture of downtown Pittsburgh, the shots are always from Mount Washington. It's a large hill. It overlooks downtown, and that's where you see the pretty shots of downtown Pittsburgh, the Three Rivers, the ball field, all those types of things. So any trip to Pittsburgh is definitely well worth going up to Mount Washington. There's something called an incline, and what it is it's kind of like a train thing that goes up the side of the mountain.
Funicular would be the term that I would use.
Yes, and if you do that, you can basically walk across a bridge in Pittsburgh and then basically jump on the incline, and that'll take you to the top of Mount Washington, and then there's some really nice vistas and overlooks there as well. Another place that I would recommend going, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of schools in Pittsburgh. And I would also recommend a trip to Oakland. And Oakland is kind of a little suburb within Pittsburgh where both Carnegie Mellon and the University of Pittsburgh is. Another good shot or another good location for photography would be on Pitt's campus. There's something called the Cathedral, and it's actually called the Cathedral of Learning. And what it actually is I believe it's the world's tallest education building out there. And it's really hard to describe, but it's a very big Gothic architecture. I believe it's like 40-some stories high, and it is kind of in the center of Pitt's campus. And it is basically kind of a very unique building, and it is definitely something to go in and tour, go and see a lot of the Gothic architecture, and that would definitely be something worthwhile to stop in Pittsburgh. Another thing there, while we're talking about that location on Pitt, is because, as I mentioned before, Pittsburgh is really a melting pot. University of Pittsburgh actually created something called the Nationality Rooms. And what they did is on the first, I believe, the three floors within that cathedral, basically what they do is they have classrooms, and each classroom is actually dedicated to a different nationality. And I believe there's probably about 26 rooms right now, And basically, they are definitely well worth to go in and see. I mean, what they've done is they've fixed the rooms up basically to celebrate kind of the national history or the nationality. There's rooms, Ukrainian rooms, Polish rooms, Chinese rooms, Japanese rooms. It's definitely something that would be very good for tourists to see in Pittsburgh. And that's one of the things that really kind of promotes the melting pot type scenario within Pittsburgh.
Is there any food or foods that are, I don't want to say unique, but quintessentially Pittsburgh?
Well, there is. I think the interesting things about restaurants in Pittsburgh is, once again, there's a really a lot of the nationality type thing. So you could get your Polish foods, you could get your Italian foods, you could get your Ukrainian foods. But if somebody is really coming to me and say, what is that one thing in Pittsburgh you have to eat? There is a restaurant slash bar in downtown Pittsburgh, and actually there's a lot around. It's called Permane Brothers, and basically everyone in Pittsburgh knows the Permane Brothers, and they've kind of created a sandwich where on that sandwich, not only do you have your meat and your cheese, but you also have coleslaw and you also have French fries. And it's served on Italian bread, and you have basically whatever meat you want, whatever cheese you want, and then basically this whole thing of coleslaw and this whole thing of French fries. And it is probably one of the best foods within Pittsburgh. I think it's something that you definitely have to try because that is a quintessential Pittsburgh thing.
All right. What's going to surprise me about Pittsburgh?
I think the one thing that's going to surprise everyone is, number one, it's very clean. Pittsburgh, within the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, it had a reputation of being very dark because of all the steel mills. So there was always a lot of smoke around. There was a lot of discharge in the rivers and stuff like that. In the 1970s, they started something within Pittsburgh called the Renaissance. And what it did is it really kind of transformed Pittsburgh from that whole steel making, iron making, heavy type industry location to what it is right now. And basically what it is right now is there are many schools there. There are many hospitals. It's one of the leading places within the U.S. for healthcare. It has some of the best schools within the U.S. as well. So I think the thing that really surprises people when they come to Pittsburgh is just how clean Pittsburgh is. And actually, when you walk around Pittsburgh, you don't even kind of feel the remnants of those steel mills. There's only one working steel mill in Pennsylvania right now. So when you're driving through Pittsburgh, you would never even know that this was basically the steel capital of the U.S. And that's also why one of the nice things is to go check out some of those museums, because those really go and they kind of really show that traveler exactly what Pittsburgh was and why Pittsburgh was so important to the history of our country.
I'm curious because I was just looking at an article that said there were no steel mills left in Pennsylvania. So what's the one they missed?
There is one steel mill, and it is actually U.S. Steel. So U.S. Steel still has their headquarters here. If you're familiar with Chicago, there's definitely a larger one outside of Chicago, but still there's about three plants in Pittsburgh right along the Monongahela River, and that is still U.S. Steel. They still process steel here.
We talked about best time. Is there a particular day that's your favorite day in Pittsburgh?
I think the weekends are real good. Once again, the weekends are probably the best time because that's, I think, where a lot of more of the ethnic things happen. So, for example, if you go to food festivals or if you go to music festivals, even if you turn on the radio, you could listen to Ukrainian music on the radio. You could listen to Polish music. You could listen to Italian music. So I think really the best time to kind of experience some of that nationality is really on the weekends from that standpoint.
I was actually looking for a day of the year.
Oh, day. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry, I thought you meant day of the week.
And I was betting on Tuesdays, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. No, I think day of the year, not really. Definitely in the summer. It's not really a day, but definitely in June, there's a lot of festivals, and that seems to be where the festival season starts up in Pittsburgh. So I'd probably say if there's something, it would be sometime within June.
So there's no particular festival that strikes you as particularly quintessential Pittsburgh? Okay.
No, now there's really a lot of festivals, like a lot of the local churches have their own music festivals. So there's really no one time to come in Pittsburgh. But once again, there is a lot of stuff that does occur in the summer months. There are like some art festivals, and once again, they're all occurring within June around that time. So June is probably a real nice time to kind of experience that.
What do the locals know that the tourists usually miss? Where can you go that all the locals enjoy it and the tourists are not there?
I think some of the things that there is, and this is probably somewhat touristy, but there is a part of Pittsburgh called the Strip District. And what the Strip District is it's kind of like the marketplace. And it's something that probably some of the tour guides do talk about, but it's really where the local people go, where the local people go to shop. They buy their fresh Italian meats or their fresh seafood. That's where they go on a weekend, and all the Italians can go to the Italian coffee shop and drink cappuccino and stuff like that. And it's somewhere that everyone in Pittsburgh, I think we all really enjoy doing. And I'm not sure if a lot of the guidebooks or a lot of things talk about that in much detail, but that is definitely something that you definitely get a very good local feel, I think, of Pittsburgh.
Okay. Your best money-saving tip for Pittsburgh, besides coming and sleeping on your couch? But
well, the best tip is, first of all, Pittsburgh is not a very expensive place. So it's not like Washington, D.C., or it's not like Manhattan. It's definitely reasonable from that standpoint. The nice thing about that is I think my best tip from that standpoint would be just look at deals online. There's always promotions and there's always things like that to get people to come downtown Pittsburgh. So my best saving tip from that standpoint would be, before you make a reservation in Pittsburgh, call some of the hotels, check online to see what some of the best deals are, because I do know they're always trying to get people to come to Pittsburgh and experience what we have here in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Side trips from Pittsburgh.
Well, I did mention a few. Like I said, those four national parks are definitely worthwhile, and those are probably within a two-hour drive. Another thing that I didn't mention is Frank Lloyd Wright has a very famous house right outside of Pittsburgh called Falling Water. And Falling Water is a very nice day trip, or actually it's just a side trip because it's only about an hour and a half outside of Pittsburgh. But it's a very unique architecture. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the quintessential Frank Lloyd Wright architecture or houses that when people think of Frank Lloyd Wright, I think they think of this house. So that's something that I would definitely recommend. If you're looking for longer trips, nice thing about Pittsburgh or the state of Pennsylvania, it's about 300 miles wide. So you could actually, if you wanted a weekend trip, there's a lot of good destinations within Pennsylvania that you could go for a weekend. The first one that is kind of interesting, it's not that far of a drive from Pittsburgh, is if you go up north of Pittsburgh, there's a town called Erie, Pennsylvania. And Erie is right on basically Lake Erie. Mm-hmm. And between Erie and Buffalo, there's basically a lot of wineries there. And Pennsylvania doesn't seem like a very big winemaking shop, but believe it or not, this area between Erie and Buffalo, I think it's the largest grape producer east of the Rockies. And there are a lot of places to go up there to sample wine. And the thing that makes it so unique is the way the winds and the way the climate is there, where it is with it being on a hill with the breezes that come off the lake, it makes it very conducive to make wine. So that is a very close drive from Pittsburgh, probably 3 hours from Pittsburgh you could get there. The other interesting thing about it is even if you have tourists in Toronto, you're only about a three-hour drive from there. So if somebody's going to Toronto and they want to kind of experience some wine and stuff like that, it's not that far of a drive from there to come down to that wine trail. So that's something I definitely recommend. I've done that multiple times. Another thing a little further out, probably about 4 hours from Pittsburgh, and it's probably closer to New York, is there are two locations that I think are two of my favorite places within Pennsylvania. One is called Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is about a four-hour drive from Pittsburgh, but it's only about a two-hour drive from downtown Manhattan. So if you're in New York as a tourist, it's a very close drive. And Bethlehem is a lot like Pittsburgh in the sense that it was a steelmaking town also.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It was the home of Bethlehem Steel. And what they did is they kind of redid that town, and they kind of brought out a lot of its historical heritage also. And there's a lot of interesting things there. So I would definitely recommend someone drive there, even if you're in New York. It's a very nice place to go. As far as times of year to go to Bethlehem, there is one thing there. It's a music festival called Bethlehem Music Fest. And it is normally, I believe, the first week in August. And it goes for about 10 days. And essentially what they do is they shut down downtown Bethlehem, and they just have tons of live music, live bands, basically every type of music I think you can imagine, local musicians, big-name musicians. And once again, it's only 2 hours from downtown New York, but it is definitely one of the best sites and one of the best festivals in Pennsylvania. And that gives you kind of like a very good feel of all the music scene, not just kind of Pennsylvania music scene, but you really get a very good ethnic mix. You get a lot of polka music. You get a lot of rock music. You get a lot of country. There's just a lot of music there. So that's definitely something I'd recommend.
And before we started recording, Chris and I were talking about Bethlehem, and my daughter goes to school there. So I have a fondness in my heart for Bethlehem, yeah. PA also.
Yeah, so Bethlehem Music Fest is definitely something that I would recommend. And there's another festival there in Bethlehem called Chris Kindlemarkt, and it's more of a Christmas festival.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it does is it focuses on local artisans, features Christmas music, and once again, all this is downtown Bethlehem. So that's something I definitely recommend. And then another thing that I'd recommend is a little north of Bethlehem. Once again, you're still only about 2 hours from New York, is a place called Jim Thorpe. And it's a small town, and it's named after the famous athlete Jim Thorpe. I don't believe he lived there. I don't believe he ever even grew up there. I think they just named the town after him, and there was even some fighting about why they named the town after Jim Thorpe. But one of the interesting things about Jim Thorpe is it's made to look like a very small Swiss town. So it's in the mountains. It's a very small town. There's only about, I think, two streets in the entire town. But it is an incredible mountain biking destination. And what they did is they really promote the outdoors, they really promote the mountain biking, and that's really a very nice place to stop by. And like I said, it's only about 2 hours from downtown New York. So if somebody comes in New York and they want to take a weekend jaunt to go check out a music festival and then maybe do some mountain biking, that is a very close drive as well.
As we go to wrap this up and focusing back on Pittsburgh again a little, any places you would recommend to stay?
I would recommend to stay downtown. Downtown is a very nice place to stay. It's very safe. So if someone stays downtown, there's a bunch of nice hotels, and they're even building more hotels. So there's a lot of nice hotels to stay. And you definitely get good rates from that standpoint. The only caution I'd have to say about downtown is, unlike other major metropolitan places within the U.S., downtown actually shuts down, like they close at like 6 o'clock. So it's not a very big shopping
center. It's not where you'd find your nightlife, okay.
No, it's definitely not. Now, there are suburbs, like within walking distance where you could take a taxi cab where they do pick up, but I wouldn't say downtown Pittsburgh is like downtown New York or downtown Philadelphia where there's a very big nightlife scene there. But it's definitely a nice place. There's definitely nice hotels, and I would definitely recommend to stay down there. One thing I would stay away from, actually, because I do know you ask this question sometimes, is what's one of the things that a lot of people say that you could probably skip. And one thing is probably the casinos. They passed a law a couple years ago allowing casinos in Pennsylvania. And to me, I think it's just an entire waste. There's so many other places to see in Pittsburgh or the state that it's almost a waste to go see these new casinos and stuff like that. So that's something that I would recommend for tourists. Stick to Las Vegas for that and come see Pennsylvania for all the historical and all that stuff.
I'm sure the tourism board is going to hate us for that, but I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah.
Last two questions.
Yes.
and you know they're coming here. This is the one you said you were going to have some trouble with. Finish this sentence for me. You really know you're in Pittsburgh when what?
I think the answer, and I've been thinking about throughout this entire interview, is that you really know you're in Pittsburgh when you wake up one day and you really get to experience your own heritage. And what that means is, from a historical standpoint, I mean, being in Pittsburgh, being the history and how it goes back to the French and Indian War, you really get to experience our history. And then more importantly, if you are a European person, and you get to experience that heritage also. I mean, for me being Ukrainian, I actually experience a lot of things that if I lived somewhere else, I probably would never, ever experience unless I went to Ukraine or Poland or those types of places.
Last question. If you had to summarize Pittsburgh in three words, what three words would they be?
I'd say the first one, this is two words, but I'm just going to use it as one, is melting pot. And as we described, it really is a melting pot of a lot of different nationalities. Number two, historical. There's a lot of history here, and that's one of the things that you should definitely see when you come to Pittsburgh. And I think the third one is convenient. It's not that far from Washington, D.C. It's really not that far from Manhattan or from a lot of the major places on the East Coast. And it really is convenient from that standpoint. So I would definitely use those three words.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about your hometown.
Cool. Thank you.
I haven't done an internet resource in a while, and there's one that I've been looking at recently that intrigues me, and this is a new one from TripAdvisor, where I am now currently working, just for full and fair disclosure, called sneakaway.com. You have to be invited to get into it, but what it offers is deep discounts on just a few hotels. So what it does is they'll put up a deal, and then that deal will last for a week, and then will go away. And it's deals in resort locations or in other well-known tourist spots. I've got my eye on a possible hotel stay on Kennery Row in Monterey for just a little less than $100 a night, which is a pretty good deal for that area. If you're interested in joining, you can give me credit for it by going to amateurtraveler.com/sneakaway. I had an email this week about the Sian episode from John from Gloucester, England, who says, I've become a regular listener over the past year and have found it a great way of dreaming about places that I have visited and want to visit whilst traveling to work. I was lucky enough to visit Sian several times last year on business. Your report was great, and I would strongly recommend the city, but I think you missed a place worth visiting. Not far from the airport is a similar tomb to the Terracotta Warriors, but the characters are on a much smaller scale. Not many tourists seem to go, but I found it very interesting. It's called the Han Yangling Museum. I enclosed a picture taken inside to give you a view. It's dark inside and flash is not allowed. And I will put that picture both in the enhanced version as well as a picture on the website. My apologies to people in the Boston area. I tried to do a meetup this week, and I was going to send out a notice in the newsletter. For those of you who are on the newsletter, it's a great way to get last-minute information, but my newsletter supplier wouldn't let me send the newsletter. So I think it went out 2 hours before the meetup. So that was not enough warning for any of you to find me. So it was a very small and select meetup, but we'll try it again next time I'm in town. If you had found me, you could have helped me celebrate my 50th birthday, which was this Tuesday. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. Leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com or follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cathedral.